I love the book of James because he is a bottom line communicator. And sometimes being a bottom line communicator gets you in trouble, but the book of James gets us to the point and gets us right where we need to be. If you were here last week when we talked about temptation, the very last point I had, practical application about temptation, was get into the Word of God so that it can get into you. And sure enough, James knew what I was going to preach on, so he put, right after that, a section on how to be blessed by the Bible. How to be blessed by the Bible. And I'm going to just tell you something. Growing up, my dad was a minister, and I had to read the Bible from time to time. It was punishment for me. It wasn't because I was bad. It was just I did not like reading. Is there anybody else in here that just does not like reading? Just raise your hand. Feel free. You know what? We raise them high because those of us who do not like to read, we need to be together. We need to be a band together and get rid of all books, right? Amen? No, but what I do like doing is I like listening to books, and as I've grown older, I have become a better reader, but I am still not a good reader. If you tell me that I have to read something, as a matter of fact, when you give me things to read, the first thing that happens is I get a knot in my stomach because I don't like reading. But I have learned this. It is through reading that I grow. As painful as it is for me to read, it is through reading that I grow. And I read my Bible every day, but guess what? It is not painful to read my Bible, even though I don't like reading. And the reason why it's not is because I approach the Bible differently than I do any other book I have to read. Because I know, number one, it is God's Word. And I know, number two, that I will benefit from it. So I got your lessons notes today. It says, how to be blessed by the Bible. Number one, I must welcome it. I must welcome it. It says, accept the Word planted in you. I've got to welcome the Word. I cannot just say, oh no, I've got to read my Bible again. No, I have to welcome this opportunity to read the Bible. From time to time, I will get notes from people that used to attend church here. They'll send me a letter or something like that. And it's people that I love and I know they love me. And guess what? I look forward to reading those notes. Because when I get something from somebody I love and I know that they love me, it's always encouraging. Amen? And what you need to know about your Bible is it is written by somebody you should love. But more importantly is that God loves you. You need to know that. So this is, as some preachers have said, this is a love letter to us. And what James is saying here is you need to accept the Word humbly planted in you. Look on over on your next page of your notes. First of all, letter A, you need to be careful. It says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. You see, for many of us, we think we are the smartest people in the room. We really do. We really think we're the smartest people in the room. I know that that is a problem for some of you, and you don't even know it. I tell people all the time, people who think they know everything really irritate those of us who do. But all of us in the room think we're smarter than everybody else in the room. If you don't, you're unusual. But when you look at God's Word, you have to be very careful that you be quick to listen and slow to speak. As a matter of fact, the biggest problem I have in my marriage is that I am quick to speak and slow to listen. And a lot of you men are grinning out there because you have the same problem I do. Letter B, when you read God's word, you need to be calm. It says slow to become angry. You see, when you're calm, you learn more and you listen better. You just learn more and you listen better when you're calm. I'm going to just use this as an illustration for some of you, and I don't look to see who comes in late, who comes in early, but I'm going to tell you how it used to look for us. We would get in the car and we would be running late and we would be making a mad dash to the car and we would be blaming the person that made us late. And even if we were that person, we were still mad at everybody. And we get in the car and we're going back and forth. We're bickering back and forth about, well, you should have done this. Well, you should have done that. And the next thing you know, we get here and two songs has already gone by and we're supposed to come in and worship and we're stressed to the max. And by the time that the sermon gets here, you're just then starting to calm down. The reason why I'm telling you this is because most of us are on this treadmill where we're going 90 to nothing all the time. And we need to take a moment to take a breath and be calm and listen to what God has to say to us. Slow to become angry. Letter C, we need to be clean. It says, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent. One of the things the psalmist did, and you can just write this in your notes, Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. One of the things he says when he prays, he says, search me, O God, and find if there is any offensive way in me. And maybe before we read the Bible, what we ought to do is we ought to say, God, look into my heart and see if there's anything in me that I need to repent of or I need to take care of, because we need to be clean. Letter D, we need to be compliant. We need to be compliant. It says, humbly accept the word planted in you. When I was growing up, I had a Bible class teacher, and he would always say to us, it's God's word, and that settles it. And I've heard other people say, it's God's word, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, I loved what my teacher said, because it's God's word, whether I believe it or not, that settles it. That's the way it is, and being compliant. You know, there's times that I don't like being compliant. There's times when I look at God's word and I say, you know, I don't really like the way that sounds. You mean I have to love my enemies? Well, that sounds nice on Sunday morning, but what does it look like when you're in Monday morning traffic and nobody's moving? The reason why I'm saying this to you is because you need to learn to be compliant with God's word even when you disagree with it or you don't understand it. Be compliant. Number two, I must reflect on it. It says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face, and I want you to underline these words, in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So you see, every time you look in the mirror, and I know that most of you in here looked in the mirror before you went out the door. Some of you, I'm questioning it, but I'm thinking most of you did. One of the things that I really enjoy doing is going to Walmart. And I don't like shopping at Walmart. I don't like shopping, period, but I love going to Walmart because you run into so many people and you think, do they not have mirrors in their house? I saw a lady the other day, she had her pajamas on. I thought, what in the world are you doing out in the middle of the day with pajamas on? And then I saw she had big fuzzy slippers. And I thought, she must have forgot she was in her night clothes. And I went up to tell her. No, I didn't, not really. But when we look into the Word of God, we need to be looking at it as a mirror, reflecting back at us. How do we look when we read the Word of God? What do we look like? What is it is in our life that needs to change? But you know what a lot of people do? They will read God's Word and they will think, oh, such and such needs to hear this. You know, one of the things that I love about this church, and I don't know whether it's because I've said this before, but I very rarely, anybody walks out of there and says, I wish such and such could have heard that today. I think it's because most of us in here, we're listening to the Word of God and we're reflecting on our own lives and not reflecting on the lives of others. So we need to reflect on God's Word. Well, how do we do that? Well, first of all, Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is alive and active. A lot of people think that the Word of God is dead. We can read it once. We read it. We've done it. That's it. And the Word of God is living and active. And you need to understand that, because what you read yesterday, you can read again in 2 weeks, and it's going to talk to you differently, because God's Word is living and active. And if you stay in His Word, you're going to be amazed at the things that you see that you didn't see before, or the things that come to mind that didn't come to mind the first time you read it, because it's living and active. It says it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Now, how do we reflect on it? Letter A, you need to read it. It says here, whoever looks intently into the perfect law. And I want you to underline intently, because I want you to see what's going on here. He's saying when you look at the Word of God, you don't just need to read it. I know people, I have had a friend one time that read through the Bible once every month. He read through the Bible 12 times in 1 year. And I thought, that's phenomenal. But the thing of it is you can't look intently into the Word of God by reading it that fast. You have to slow down. And I want you to think about that, looking intently. If you look on the back of your notes, the very back page, I've got a thing called Space Pets. You turn over to the very back of your notes. You see it up there? It says Space Pets. I got this from Rick Warren. And when you read a passage of Scripture, if you want to look at it intently, this is how you do it. Is there a sin to confess? Is there a promise to claim? Look for promises. There are over 7,000 promises in the Word of God. Is there an attitude that I need to change? Is there a command that I need to obey? Is there an example to follow? Is there a prayer to pray? There are lots of prayers in the Bible. You can take those prayers and pray them for yourself and for others. You can know they'll be answered because they're in God's Word. You know, a lot of times we don't know how to pray. Amen? You just said amen, so you know how to pray. We don't know how to pray, but you can go into God's Word, and God's Word is the best teacher of how to pray. And a lot of times what we do when it comes to our prayers, we just pray what we need, but God's Word shows us how to pray in a way that is acceptable to God. Letter E, is there an error to avoid? Letter T, is there a truth to believe? Is there something I just need to believe God for? And letter S, is there something to be thankful for? What this will do is if you read a passage of Scripture and you stop and you go down and you answer all of those questions, looking at the passage, coming back to the passage, answering the question, coming back to the passage, answering the next question, what you will be doing, you will be looking intently into the Word of God. So the first thing we got to do is we got to read it. Letter B, it's review it. It says, and continues in it. It's not one and done. We don't just read a passage of Scripture and say, okay, I've read that one. It's time to move on. We need to remain in it. Jesus, when he's talking in the passage of Scripture, John 15, verses 7 and 8, says, remain in me. And this is how you remain in God, is by remaining in his word. And if you remain in me, I will remain in you, and you will produce much fruit. And what that means is that you will have a life that is full of joy, that is full of peace. You will have a life that is better than most. And I'm not talking financially, I'm not talking about health. I'm talking about what goes on up here and in here. Because if you remain in Jesus and his word, he will remain in you and he will help you through whatever you're going through. Letter C, you need to remember it. Not forgetting what they have heard. I cannot tell you the number of conversations I have with people from time to time where I want to give them scriptures. And sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. My next door, well, she's not my next door neighbor, but a neighbor that lives down the street lost her husband a couple of years ago. And she stopped me in the middle of the day yesterday in the driveway. She was in her car in air conditioning. And I was standing on the pavement, and it was hot, and I was getting ready to leave. But being a good Christian, I stopped and I listened to her. And she began to tell me one story after another of what was going on with her, and I leaned in closer because she had air conditioning and I did not. And she started telling me about this cloud she saw, and then she got her phone out. Don't you just love it when people get their phone out and they want to show you a picture that they took 10 years ago and they start doing this? And I'm like, you can just tell me about it. But she's doing all of that. And she finds the picture of a cloud. And it looks somewhat like a face. And it looked like it had wings on it. And she says, do you know who that is? And I said, no. Looks like a cloud to me. She says, that's my husband James looking down on me. And I looked at her and I said, sweetie, your husband is not an angel. And she goes, what? I said, the Bible teaches us that we don't become angels, that we're better than angels. And I said, go read Hebrews chapter 2. And she texted me later. She says, you're right. You see, I would not have remembered that. I would have not have known that had I not remembered what I had read. And we can use that. Look at what it says here. Psalms 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Number three, I must respond to it. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Has God spoken to you through his word this week? Because that's the problem I see with a lot of people. They will listen to the news. They will listen to TV shows. They will binge watch their favorite program, whatever that is. And they can talk about all of that. But very few of us have a moment where God's word has spoken to us and shown us something. John 13:7, now you will know these things and you will be blessed if you do them. Letter A, it will give you a controlled mouth. It will give you a controlled mouth. I think the biggest test of our spiritual health is what we say. It is. It really is. You can tell whether somebody's spiritually mature or somebody's spiritually struggling by the way they talk. You see, if you come across a Christian that's very judgmental, Or you come across a Christian that's very condescending, which is one of the things I really hate about Christians is, you know, sometimes we can be the most condescending people there are on earth. And we can be condescending, we can get angry easily, and we can get defensive. All of those things are a test of our spiritual health. And when we're defensive, when we're judgmental, when we're condescending, when we're angry, what happens is we're failing the test. Now, there is a time for righteous anger, but if we're just angry all the time, I'm going to tell you, you need to get in the Word of God because it will help you control your mouth. And when you speak kind and loving words, that's when you know that you're winning the spiritual battle. Those who consider themselves religious yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Letter B, a caring heart. A caring heart. If you respond to God's word, you will have a caring heart. And it says in here, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress. Now, I want you to look at that passage real quick one more time. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress. Now, I want to ask you a question today. Have you this week once looked out for an orphan or a widow? The reason why I'm asking you that is because when you read this passage of Scripture, it says you want to be faultless, you want to have pure religion, this is the way you do it. Look after the orphans and the widows. Have you prayed for a widow? Have you prayed for somebody who's fatherless? Have you prayed or have you connected with someone? The reason why I'm telling you this is because the church is built for married couples. I want you to just hear that real quick. The church is built for married couples. It's a cultural thing. I don't think it's a biblical thing. I think it's a cultural thing, and we don't look out for single people. But if we want to have a religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless, we're going to look out for the single people, and we're going to look out for children that don't have parents or maybe that are just fatherless. And I would challenge this church to do that. Letter C, we need a clean mind to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. We have to have a clean mind. That means we have to watch what we watch. We have to watch who we hang out with. We have to watch what kind of words we say. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what he's talking about there is the world is going to try to creep in every day and in every way possible. And we need to make sure that our minds are not conforming to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. I got the last scripture in here because this is the one that I wanted to end with. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. I don't know what your pattern is. Everybody in here is different. Some people are morning people. How many morning people are in here? You like to get up early and get going? You are sick puppies. No, I'm just kidding. I used to be a night person, but now I'm a morning person. I'm actually all day person. I like mornings. I get up early. I stay up late. I don't sleep anymore. I don't know why, but that's just the way life is going these days. But whether you're a morning person, a night person, whenever you operate at your best. I operate at my best first thing in the morning. But wherever it is, you need to have some time where you get into God's Word so God's Word can get into you. And I know for some of you, like, that is so far, and I have to get up and get a shower, and I have to brush my teeth and shave and get dressed, and it's a commute to work. I can tell you all kinds of ways for you to get into God's Word in that period of time. Most of us have one of these crazy devices called a phone. I was talking to some teenagers the other day, and I said, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't have a cell phone, and they looked at me like I had three heads. But we have these cell phones now, and you can download an app, and a lot of these apps that you can download will speak the Word to you while you're driving. So if you have a long commute, maybe spend some time re-listening to the same few verses over and over on your way in so that it will start your day off that way. A lot of people like listening to sermons when they drive. That's a good way to get some of the Word. But I would say to you, if you have any way at all to just listen to the Word and absorb it, one of the things my dear wife does is she listens to the Word through her phone first thing in the morning. She'll listen to it all the way through the morning. It doesn't do her any good, but no, she... I got to go home with her now, don't I? No, but she listens to the Word while she's getting ready. A lot of people can do that, but I'm wanting you to find a way to get in the Word so that it gets into you. Amen? Now, I hope some of the things that we talked about today will be helpful to you in drawing you closer to God. But whether it was the singing that we had today, the communion service, the prayers that were prayed, or the sermon that you heard today, you shouldn't leave here the same way you came in. You should take a moment to reflect on your worship today, because if you've come in here today and you worshiped and you leave out of here, you're not going to leave the same way you came in. But if you came in here and you didn't worship, you're going to leave just like you came in. And I hate to say this, but you could have done something better with your hour. So when you leave here today, make sure you're not the same person that came through those doors. We sing an invitation song. And growing up, I hated and loved the invitation song all at the same time. I loved it because I knew my dad was finished preaching. And I hated it because I was always scared some bad person was going to come down front and ask for prayers or want to be baptized or something like that, because it was going to take up more of my lunch time. But that was a teenager, a preteen probably, that thought that way. Today, I think of the invitation song is my moment to reflect on who I am in God's eyes. And that is what I want you to do today as we stand and sing.